Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. Now keep in mind this topic for the passage, my Father's cup. Let's read. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now, what's happened is, this follows, obviously, the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Judas Iscariot has come in with a band of men and officers to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter sees them come in and tries to defend Jesus Christ, draws the sword and tries to kill this servant. He only gets his ear, but Jesus Christ rebukes Peter and told him, he said, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now he makes reference then to this cup that is given to him by his Father. Well, in studying the Bible then, we can go through and cross-reference Scripture with Scripture and we'll find out something about this cup. As it turns out, there are two cups in the Bible at least. One of them is the cup of devils, and the other one is the cup of the Lord. And the cup of devils can be run out to include what goes on during the tribulation when Babylon is drunken with the blood of the martyrs. The martyrs' heads are cut off. Their blood is drained into a cup. The executioners or worshipers of the Antichrist will drink out of that cup, and that'll be part of their religious worship. And the martyrs will be the sacrifice that's offered to their false god. That's the devil's cup. But the Lord has a cup. Jesus refers to it as the cup which my Father hath given me. My Father's cup. Well, we want to run out the references on this today and study this thing and see what it says and see what in the world you can do about it. Or, you know, just knowing what it is. So let's go first of all to Psalm 75 and look at verse 8. Psalm 75 and look at verse 8. And notice this first of all. Psalm 75 and look at verse 8. The Bible says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, just like blood. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. So in the hand of the Lord there's a cup with red wine full of mixture. He poureth out of the same. The dregs thereof, the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Okay, so there's our introduction to the cup that the Lord has in his hand. Now, this cup is going to serve a purpose in the Bible, and we're going to read about that today. We're going to look in Isaiah. We're going to look in Jeremiah. We're going to look in the book of Revelation. We're going to find out that this cup has something to do with the destruction of the nations who attacked Israel at Armageddon. But keeping in mind that the Lord has this wrath in there, or this cup in there, notice that Jesus Christ intervenes to take this cup so that the wrath of God is not poured out upon sinners. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and look at verse 39. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. This is right in the middle of the prayer that Jesus Christ is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, or the Bible says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then in verse 42, he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. So in the hand of the Lord is this cup that the wicked of the earth will drink from. And Jesus Christ prays before his crucifixion that God will take that cup away from him, except the only way that God's will can be done is for Jesus Christ to take the cup. So by the time that Judas Iscariot and the band of officers come to arrest Jesus Christ is already assured that he needs to take that cup. And so he says, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? He's already prayed the thing three times. God didn't take it away from him. So it's taken out of the hand of the Lord from Psalm 75, verse 8, and given to the Lord Jesus Christ to drink. And yet this is a cup that the wicked of the earth shall wring out and drink from. Notice also that Jesus Christ knew of this cup in Matthew chapter 20 and said to his disciples that they were going to have to drink out of it too. Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 22. Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. Now this is in response to James and John wanting the best seats on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 23, the Lord says, He saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now we know that all of the disciples were martyred after the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven. And we know that John is the only disciple who was not martyred, but he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, where then he died in his old age. I suppose that his last letter that he wrote was the book of Revelation, somewhere in the vicinity of 90 to 96 A.D. So the Lord says, you will indeed drink of my cup. So what happens here is this. The Lord has a cup in his hand that the wicked are going to drink of. It's the cup of his fury we're going to see in a minute. In order to protect the wicked, in order to give us, who are wicked, sinners, an opportunity to get saved, Jesus Christ took that cup. And his own disciples took of that cup as well, being martyred for their service of the Lord Jesus Christ and their faith in his words. Do you know during the tribulation, that cup's going to be passed around, as we've said, and many more will be martyred for their testimony, the word of their testimony, and for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 21, and notice that the two cups are compared, the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21, Paul says to the Corinthians, You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. All right, now this cup of the Lord is the cup that we take called communion. It's the Lord's Supper. It's one of the ordinances that is left to the church by the Lord Jesus Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 25 through 28, Paul gives us the order of the Lord taking the cup at the Last Supper and then demonstrating what was fixing to happen to him when he died on the cross. Then we take the cup now in remembrance of his sacrifice for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So it takes you from the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we observe that ordinance throughout that time. As oft as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, there's sort of the New Testament verses that deal with this cup. Now, we're going to actually go back to the Old Testament and see how this cup was prophesied to be distributed to the wicked. See if we could just briefly summarize this, because this message is disjointed. Normally I like to have them structured a little better than this, where it's easier for you to follow. This one's disjointed, and I'll grant you that, but I'm trying to show you something. Here's the deal. In Psalm 75, verse 8, we see that the Lord has a cup in his hand, and the wicked of the earth are going to wring them out and drink them, the dregs of that cup. Jesus told Peter in our text today, John chapter 18, verse 11, that he was to drink of that cup that God the Father had given it to him to drink. He had prayed in Matthew chapter 26 not to receive that cup. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he had prophesied and told his disciples that he would have to take that cup. He would have to drink of that cup. And then, in fact, they drink of that cup as well. A cup of suffering at the hand of the wicked who despise God. We remember that cup at the Lord's Supper. We remember that cup at the Lord's Supper. When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the Lord's death till he come. Now, that death was for us. You know why? Because while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. None of us deserved the grace that was extended to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us deserved that Jesus Christ should die for us, because we are wicked. Jesus Christ took that cup so we would not have to experience the wrath and fury of Almighty God. That's what we've seen so far through the New Testament. But now we're going to go back to the Old Testament again, and we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 51 and look at verse 17 and verse 22 and 23. Because there you're going to see the cup, and you're going to see how God Almighty intends to use that cup and has used it throughout history. Isaiah 51, and look at verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. For thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. That is in response to the prophecy of Psalm 75, verse 8. In the hand of the Lord there is a cup. The wine is red, is full of mixture. He poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. That's Isaiah 51, 17, see? O Jerusalem, which is drunken at the hand of the Lord, the cup of his fury, thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There's the match. Now, why'd they do that? Well, Jerusalem rejected Jesus Christ. Jerusalem rejected the pleading of God Almighty. They would not hearken to his words. And so they drank that cup. You know what happened to Jerusalem after Isaiah prophesied this? Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the temple and uprooted Judah and took Jerusalem captive and moved them to Babylon and destroyed their temple. Now, the temple was rebuilt, but Caesar was in charge of the land when Jesus Christ came. Nebuchadnezzar was in charge of it. Darius and Cyrus were in charge of it. Alexander the Great was in charge of it. Then Caesar was in charge of it. The Jews were not ruling over their own land. Why? They had to take this cup. Why? Because they had disobeyed God and wouldn't hearken to his words. And that the effect of that cup has gone on even until this very day, now that they're back there in their nation, and then the Lord says, I'm going to take that cup away from you. Look at Isaiah 51, 22. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and the God that pleadeth the cause of his people, behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Tribulation. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. So very shortly, in the near future, the Lord is going to remove the cup from the hand of Jerusalem, which have had to suffer the consequences of their disobedience, all the way from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until the present day, where the United Nations is trying to give more of their land away by creating a Palestinian state in Israel's land. God said, I'm going to take that cup out of your hand. And that's called the cup of my fury. He said, I'm going to take that out of your hand. And I'm going to put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. You see, and that means the nations of the earth are going to have to take that cup. Now, Jesus took that cup already. He took it in Matthew chapter 26 and willingly accepted it and died on the cross. You know, if Judah and Jerusalem, Israel, had received their Messiah, Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, then the taking of the cup would have solved the problem for Israel forever. It has certainly solved the problem that we have with sin forever, because you and I are not going to suffer the consequences of hell, the fury of the wrath of Almighty God, because Jesus Christ took the cup and we accepted him. And we drink that cup now as a memorial to his death that saved us from the fury and wrath of Almighty God. But the nations of the earth have not so done, and neither did Jerusalem. They will. God said, I'm going to write my laws in their mind and in their heart, and everyone shall know me from the least to the greatest. He'll do that during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and all Israel shall be saved, according to Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. He's going to hand that cup over to the other nations. Now look in Jeremiah chapter 25 at verse 15, and we'll read a little bit of scripture here, and you're going to see the nations of the earth that take this cup. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. Now where are they going to go? Verse 16. They shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. You see, Peter drew a sword to cut off the ear of Malchus, and Jesus said, No, I got to take this cup first. Why? Because if the nations had accepted Jesus Christ instead of Allah, if they'd accepted Jesus Christ instead of Shinto, if they'd accepted Jesus Christ instead of Buddha, if they accepted Jesus Christ instead of their Pope, if they accepted Jesus Christ instead of Mary, and so forth and so on and so on and so forth, if they had done that, they wouldn't have to take the cup of trembling. Why? Because Jesus Christ already took that for them to save them. They wouldn't do it. Jerusalem didn't do it, and neither did the other nations. Thank God individually, those of us who have received Jesus Christ have done it. So all we have to do is drink the cup as a memorial. We're not going to see the wrath and fury of Almighty God. Praise God! But these will. They shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Jesus said, my disciples, they're not going to fight now. They'll fight later. The armies which were in heaven with him in Revelation 19:14 follow him at his second advent, and they're going to pour out the wrath of Almighty God. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're in Jeremiah chapter 25. Keep reading. Look at verse 17. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem. They've got the cup now, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, and a hissing, a curse, as it is this day. All right, the cup is probably being removed from Jerusalem, right in this time frame or shortly hereafter. Verse 19, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Egypt's going to get it, and his servants, his princes, and all his people. Jeremiah 25:20, all the mingled people, all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, that's the coastal area, they're just in the Gaza Strip, basically. Ashkelon, Aza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, that's all southwestern Palestine. Verse 21, Edom, that's below the Dead Sea, and Moab, below the east, the Dead Sea and a little to the east, and the children of Ammon, east of the Dead Sea. Jeremiah 25:22, and of the kings of Tyrus, north of Palestine on the coast, and of the kings of Zidon, north of Palestine on the coast, in modern-day Lebanon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea. All right, that'll take you Crete and Cyprus and those areas. Verse 23, Dedan and Tema and Buz and all that are in the utmost corners, all the kings of Arabia, you know where that is, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert. Verse 25, all the kings of Zimri and all the kings of Elam, far east. That's going to take you out past the Euphrates and Tigris rivers in the old Persian area. all the kings of the Medes. Verse 26, all the kings of the north, far and near, Turkey, Europe up into Russia, one with another, all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth. Boy, that'll take you way on out there then. And the king of Sheshach shall drink after them. Verse 27, therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. That's the sword that comes out of the Lord's mouth at the second coming, spoken of in Revelation chapter 19, that with it he should smite the nations. He destroys the nation with a sword that comes out of his mouth. Verse 28, it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. Should ye utterly be unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. That stuff right there is all tribulation and the stuff at Armageddon. That's all coming. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ willingly took the cup out of God's hand, drank that cup, and died for us on his cross. He died for all the nations of the earth. He died for every individual in the earth. Individually, we have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, some of us. And therefore, when we take the cup now, it is simply a memorial of what Jesus Christ did for us when he took the fury and wrath of Almighty God. But the nations of the earth who have rejected Jesus Christ, and they are worldwide, they've traded him in for their orthodox religions, they've traded him in for their false religions, they've traded him in for God worship. All right? He's going to come back around here during the tribulation, and he's going to pass that cup from nation to nation, and every one of them is going to drink it. They could have been saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who already intervened for them on behalf of God Almighty. But since they rejected, they get to drink the dregs of it themselves. And it, God said, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by name. Should you be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished. I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. It's coming. It is coming. Now look in Revelation chapter 16, verse 19, and notice Babylon gets it, and notice that cup of the wine of the fierceness of God's wrath is being passed around right about that time. Now Babylon gets it here because Babylon is the one that has the devil's cup during the book of Revelation. And it's the cup that's been filled with the blood of the martyrs and drunk in sacrificial worship to a false god, the Antichrist. Revelation 16, 19, that great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. There you go. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And Babylon falls. And Babylon falls. Now look in Revelation chapter 14 and notice, individually, there are people taking the mark of the beast, worshiping his image, and bowing down to him, number of his name, all that stuff, and they're getting it. Individually, they're getting it. They are getting stung by the wrath of God Almighty represented by this cup. Revelation chapter 14. Look at verse 9, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You got it? The nations get it in Revelation 16. The nations get it in Jeremiah chapter 25. And the individuals get it in Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. That's the cup of the Lord's indignation. That's the cup of the Lord's fury. And it's poured out. And everybody's going to drink it that's not saved. Now you say, well, man, that's a terrible thing. Yes, it is a terrible thing. You see, by cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture, you've had a pretty heavy-duty doctrinal message to try to follow on a radio broadcast. I'll grant you that. I'll grant you that. But we didn't want to cut any slack. You've got just a summary here, and I'm going to tell you what to do about it. You've got a cup in the Lord's hand right now. It's the cup of His fury. It's the cup of trembling. It's the cup of His wrath. It's the cup of His indignation. And that cup is going to be drunken by every individual in every nation of the earth, unless they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. So Jesus Christ came to this earth. He took that cup. He asked God if it could pass from it. It didn't. He took that cup. He drank that cup. And today, those who are saved remember that in a memorial called the Lord's Supper. That cup was to go to Jerusalem, which it has and will continue to do until God removes it. And then it goes to every nation of the earth, and it goes to every individual who, during the tribulation, takes the mark of the beast or worships the image or takes the mark of his name. That's what's going to happen. Now, you can escape that by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, how? How does that have anything to do? Listen how the psalmist put it in Psalm 116, verse 13. He said in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Jesus Christ died for you, man. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You got it? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. That if thou shalt believe in thine, he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the cup of the wrath and indignation and fury of God Almighty, where when a man has to drink of that cup, he is thrown into a lake of fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and is tormented night and day forever. You can escape that by taking the cup of salvation, by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's the only way out. So it's a very important cup that we study today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.